Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wrestle me, Mark!
Wrestle me, Pete!
Wrestle me, Mark. Sorry, I started that.
Oh. No. Well, look, I mean, it's a terrible start. It's been an awful show so far. Let's make it more exciting by mentioning the names of the two men that we're going to be talking about today. Mm. They are Rollerball Mark Rocco and Marty Jones.
Is it fair to say 2020 has been the year of Rollerball Rocco for, well, not for Rollerball Rocco, tell me.
I mean, it's been awful for Rollerball Rocco.
It's been an iconic year for him.
It's been, I would say, one of the most important years in his career, because what we've seen this year, sadly, he passed away in July, but what we've seen with Rollerball Rocco is a reevaluation of his career and a real reappreciation of a man who was absolutely the top of his game for so many years, a pioneer in this industry, and one of the very few British wrestlers of the 80s and 90s who could have been a star anywhere, just didn't get the chance. The Wrestling Observer have their annual Hall of Fame edition where people, journalists, retired wrestlers, active wrestlers, historians of wrestling, they all cast votes on who goes into the Hall of Fame. And Rocco missed going in by 10 votes. He was the closest contender to get in who didn't get in.
Yeah.
So he was very much the runner-up in this year's Hall of Fame. That is bad news, because not going in this year, his body of work doesn't get bigger.
Yeah.
It's not a great thing to not go in, certainly in the year that you pass away. But what this got me thinking was I was thinking about this for WrestleMemus. And I was like, we always talk about, you know, what's the best match of all time in wrestling? Everyone's like, you know, what's the best indie match? What's the best death match and everything? No one really does. What is the best British match that's ever taken place? So I was like, I typed it in. I thought there'll be people who have got nothing, absolutely nothing. The closest that I could find was a list from the UK wrestling magazine FSM, which is Fighting Spirit magazine. And they, like Rocco, also passed away. They passed away in August 2019.
Right.
what they did in their final issue was they did a list of the top 50 matches to ever take place in Britain. Now, the lists are subjective, but I would say there is no mention of Dynamite Kid on this list. And there is no mention of Mark Rollerball Rocco, which seems to me a little bit of an oversight. Lists are always subjective. That would have been 51. Mm. You know, 19 of the matches that in the list don't involve anyone British. So they took place on British soil in Britain.
Yeah.
But for example, you know, further down the list, there's Ultimate Warrior versus Macho Man Randy Savage from SummerSlam 92. A match that really nobody thinks of as being a great match.
No, I think at the time, oh, what an honour.
They're
doing everything here.
Exactly that. But it's not, by anyone's rule of thumb, a great match. The actual number one match, because it will be annoying to hear about this and not know what it is, was Nigel McGuinness versus Brian Danielson, which took place in Ring of Honor. I think it was in Liverpool on the 12th of August, 2006. Nigel McGuinness is British, so I allow that one.
You have that one.
The second best was Shingo Takagi versus Susumu Yokosuka.
Good old solid British names.
As part of Dragon Gate UK. So... But what surprised me is there was no mention of Dynamite Kid and Rocco. Mm. And what there was mention of was Marty Jones. And Marty Jones was a contemporary of Rocco and Dynamite Kid. And he is a forgotten man to some degree when it comes to certainly international conversations about British wrestling. But he appeared on the list twice. He was there in a match against Terry Rudge from 1973, which is pretty much when he was starting out. And then again in a match against Owen Hart, which took place here in 1987. That's a match that was played out on World of Sport. And really, that was a very early Owen Hart match. And Marty Jones was pretty much at his peak in 87. Mm. You know, he was the last sort of great World of Sport era star who was very much on the top of the cards. But it did make me sort of think, okay, well, that's interesting. You know, there's a list. What I found under that was a tweet from William Regal. And William Regal had got in contact with Fighting Spirit magazine when they put this top 50 British
Brilliant.
Wrestling matches out.
I love that.
And he said, I'm sorry to bring this up, but it's true and important. The most important match, considering so many matches on the top 50 British bouts just follow the style, is Mark Rocco versus Marty Jones from 78. They started the 1980s junior style in the 70s in the UK. Mm. So he, I'm not going to say, oh, well, you know, everyone's got an opinion, mate. He's William Regal. He is probably, you know, there's an argument to be made that he is the most important British export wrestler at a time when British wrestling was on its arse. He was the one man who was flying the flag for that traditional World of Sport style. As his career went on, people were like, he wrestles unlike anyone else and it's magical. Mm. And people began looking at World of Sport, and then it was a renaissance of sorts. This is all very much skirting over bigger sort of issues and things. I'm just trying to get this done within 25. So the match itself, this match that took place is Mark Rocco versus Marty Jones. It took place for two belts. So Marty Jones held the light heavyweight championship and Mark Rocco held the heavy middleweight championship. There was enough of a gap that the two of those were different weight belts, which of course is how we used to do it in Britain on weight, but that they could both challenge for each other's because one had bulked up and the other had slimmed down.
Mm.
The match between them took place at Woking. It was in 1978. And it's been uploaded onto YouTube by the brilliant British wrestling historian John Lister, very much a pal of WrestleMe. He's uploaded it from one of the sort of cable TV channels that briefly showed World of Sport, a couple of year periods where they were on.
There's a lovely moment in the middle of it where it cuts to an ad break and Sheila's Wheels on there.
I know.
It's on, it's like, oh, Sheila's Wheels.
Now, because like no advertisers targeted wrestling and these channels were pretty much doing, you know, audiences in the, you know, maybe low hundreds.
Yeah.
There was no advertising spend. So whenever you used to watch like World of Sport, the adverts in between in the 2000 and, well, this must have been 2004-05, would always be for companies that just went, you know, well, we'll have those free as well. So you'd get over 50s life insurance,
yeah,
debt management, car finance, and that Sheila's Wheels advert for car insurance for women. Why are you advertising female specific car insurance in the middle of wrestling,
yeah, that
from
seems
1978,
like a massive misstep, doesn't it? Yeah,
that is really just like, well, we'll give you that free, we'll put it in, you know, bulk it up.
Maybe Bob Carroll Jesus' wife might think for a second that Bob Carroll Jesus is wrestling. It's confusing. Oh, I better get my car insured.
Well, it's 1978, so he's on the Entertainers and Tiz Was.
Yeah,
so is Tiz Was on this one? It's not how it works, you silly bear. That was the dog, not me. The
what are you doing in there? As the dogs do it.
It really was depressing advertising watching this sort of wrestling, because it would come on and you just sort of go, I am a big loser. I am the furthest thing from ABC One that television has ever known. Marty Jones, interesting guy. So he never ever had quite that within wrestling. People, master wrestler, absolutely brilliant. But he never kind of broke through, certainly to these days, in the way that the other ones did, like your Roccos, like your Fit Finleys as well.
Yeah.
He was born in Oldham in Lancashire, and he was he's slightly boss-eyed. So one of his eyes goes in, but you can never quite tell which one it is, because when you think you've got it, you'll notice it's the other one.
Yeah,
it depends which way he's looking, and then it makes it very confusing. I'm not saying he needs to work, give me a
choose
system.
One. Just choose one.
It's up to him. He can live his eye life as he sees fit. He was bullied at school, and so his dad sent him to a wrestling school while he was just in his early teens.
To be a thick, tough guy.
Well, I mean, back in those days, he was trained by three legitimate legendary shooters.
Mm.
So they were the same guys who trained the Dynamite Kid. They were Ted Bettley, who did Train the Dynamite Kid. There's Billy Robinson, who was one of the great shooters of the 70s, had a good American career. And also Billy Riley, who was the owner of the Snake Pit Gym in Wigan, where so many of these brilliant shooters came out of.
Right.
He debuted in 1972, and he first beat Rocco for the British light heavyweight title in 1976. And they would continue throughout their careers to have matches against each other for the next 15 years. I think on YouTube, there's one from as late as 1988, only a couple of years before Rocco retired. They had this career-long rivalry. Marty Jones, the thing that he had is he never really had any gimmicks. And I know at the time, you know, you had wrestlers. Rocco doesn't really have a gimmick. Rocco is just a guy who has some stars on a leotard.
Yeah.
And when he's in the ring, he often loses his temper and he's too aggressive. That's his gimmick. Dynamite Kid didn't really have a gimmick. He was just, I am fucking good at wrestling, was sort of his thing. And in real life, I'm a horror. And what Marty Jones sort of lacked is he didn't really sort of have much charisma. You wouldn't think that would be a problem because he's so good in the ring, but I think it might have slightly held him back. He was the first person I ever saw in a main event. So I saw him in Brighton in about 1991 in a match against Fit Finlay, which if you listen to WrestleMe, I always say, you know, God, I think it was, if only I could see one match back on video, it would be that match. Because at the time, I'd never seen anything like it. It was so spectacular. That proper World of Sport classic British action with two people who were at the top of their game. He was quite big by this point. He was a heavyweight. Not out of shape, but just much bigger than he is when we see him here. Fit Finlay was the other big career rival that he had. So basically from the late 80s all the way through to the 90s, his main events with Fit Finlay were all over the country. And they were working at a super, super high level. In the 90s, he became a successful landlord at the Angel Pub in Royton near Oldham. And he is now a trainer. He runs his own training school. And he's done a lot of the NXT UK stars have come through sort of Marty Jones. He does seminars and things like that. He's also trained the nephews of the Dynamite Kid, one of whom looks exactly like his uncle. And the two of them are spectacular. The way they move is very, very reminiscent of the Dynamite Kid, which is clearly because they are being trained by the man who was trained by the person who trained their uncle. So there's a nice lineage thing there. In his early days, he also trained William Regal. So Marty Jones did a lot of work with Regal when Marty Jones was quite an established star and Regal was just starting out. In his autobiography, Walking a Golden Mile, Regal said he is one of the best wrestlers you'll ever see. It's what we call a great worker. He's wrestled in some of the best matches I've ever seen. He's also got a Twitter account as Marty Jones. He's not been on for a couple of years. Previously, he tweets in all caps, which is the sort of thing an older gentleman will do. Yeah. A lot of his tweets would sort of be, I've got a seminar coming up, you want to get down there. And a lot of them are signed off, all the best, Marty. I took one here, which I did like, which is he'd contacted Natty Neidhart, the Natalia Neidhart, the WWE superstar, when she put up a photo of herself with her dad, Jim Neidhart, the Anvil, prior to his dying. And Marty Jones had written, "Hi, Natty," capitals, "would you kindly pass on our," capitals, "regards to your dad," capitals, "and tell him I," capitals, "visited the Dynamy Kid," he's missed out a T, caps, "this week and reminisced on our Galgary," caps.
Galgary?
He means Calgary.
Oh, right.
Okay. "Days, obviously all the hearts and Jim," caps, "was mentioned. Yours in sport," caps.
"Yours in sport.
Marty Jones UK."
Yay! Shall I put your mum on?
So he did actually, I mean, he had a short career in Japan under his real name. He teamed with Andre the Giant. He took on a lot of tag team stuff, presumably there to take the pinfall as well. But he did briefly work in Calgary with the Hart family. Never quite broke through. So really his whole life was spent just at the top of British wrestling.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And this match is the 23rd of September 1978, took place in Woking. And it is, William Regal is saying this is the best British wrestling match of all time. Mm. Are you going to disagree with William Regal?
No, I'm not. It was really good. There were no fuck-ups. Nothing was wasted. No botches. It was just from start to finish a really, really solid technical match. And it wasn't like, you know, obviously big, massive leaps and jumps, but once he starts to get the end, it builds. And Rocco, some of his flips are fucking insane. And some of the flips you don't see ever.
There's one
where he gets flipped from miles across the ring, and then they do it again, and he gets flipped against the turnbuckle upside down.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's landed right in his head. He hasn't. He's caught himself, but it looks really like he's landed on his head.
He sort of does that.
Really stiff.
As he's flying, as he comes off the turnbuckle, he sort of does a headstand without any hands.
It's perfect.
It's amazing. And now, I'd watched a previous battle between the two of them, and he does that exact same spot in it, and it's spectacular. Yeah. I don't know how it's done.
No.
I think in the previous one I'd seen, there was a monkey flip, and he got flipped halfway across the ring, and he goes so high in the sky, Rocco, and he lands on his back, but then he bounces up again about 3 foot, just off his back.
Yeah.
And that can only be just by going, I'm going to jump so high that when I bounce off the mat, it'll be 3 feet. There's no way you can make your muscles take you off the thing.
No.
You just sort of, I mean, the sacrifice. Mm. And it looked spectacular. Mm. I loved this match. I mean, the reason I loved it is there is nothing here but wrestling.
Mm.
And this is two people that, the build is amazing. It's just amazing. As it starts off, it all looks legitimate. And it really looks like, you know, at this time, people are sort of, wrestling's all a big fix. But you'd watch this and go, maybe not this one. You know, they treat it like sport. They're feeling each other out. There's really sort of good arm work at the start. Mm. And it just begins to build and build and build. By the time they get to sort of round four, there develops a storyline, which is that Jones's leg is being targeted by Rocco.
Mm.
And they just keep that going throughout the whole thing. You know, it's not just abandoned. They don't forget it. It becomes an integral part of the match. The speed that they seem to increase as it goes on is a really clever way of just building and building and building. So they begin coming off the ropes. They are going faster than flat out. They come off absolutely speedy. When you see stuff like that, you go, why doesn't everybody do it like
this?
This really, the answer is you can't. You know, these two are really, really good at it. They get, I think the first fall goes to Marty Jones, who does a backslide. And what you see here is the wonder as well of Kent Walton, who is the commentator.
It's like a snooker commentary.
It's absolutely like snooker commentary. You can picture him at the back with his mic watching it. You know, he's got that, and here they are, the two of them, coming in for this round. It's just such a good way of doing it. The intimacy of it is so wonderful. I mean, he has that thing where he does a backslide pin, which I think Kent Walton calls a folder. Caught him with a folder, he says, and he just goes, absolute beauty. And I love that whole thing of going, what you are watching is two elite athletes performing like an intricate series of almost like chess-like moves. And you've got Kent Walton just saying, well, that's absolutely beautiful. I could not get enough of it. I would love to hear Kent Walton doing commentary over Necro Butcher versus Samoa Joe. I think it would be so absolutely landed right on his bonds there. Coming out like thick jammy jam.
Cascading red waterfall from the man's head.
I like the way yours rhymes as well. Really setting yourself up for a difficult commentary job. I do Kent Walton in inappropriate situations and everything rhymes. They just, I mean, it goes through, it's sort of, I mean, I watched a previous match that took place in St. Albans. And I don't know whether it's just because I've been to St. Albans and where this happened that I felt like close. I actually thought this was a better match than the one that that William Regal says is the best match of all time.
Right.
I'm not going to argue about it with him. I'm sure he's right. But the one previously, they just seemed to be going even more flat out.
Mm.
And what they didn't have with that one is they didn't have the sort of sense of the gravity of it being a title match. In this one, it was a sort of really a thing for, you know, personal pride.
Yeah.
And that in wrestling is, if you can get a personal pride match together that works, take that over a title match that works. And there were some just great bits in that. But what it also suggested is why Marty Jones isn't talked about in the same way as we talk about Rocco and Dynamite Kid and Fit Finlay, is that he slightly has a blank face. That is the thing that he doesn't seem to be able to quite emote. So people in both matches are very much against Rocco, but they seem to be more pro Marty Jones because he's up against Rocco, and they're using their pro Marty Jones to hurt Rocco more because they hate him. I think he slightly gets lost on that side of it. And that's probably why we don't talk about him as being, you know, Mark's favorite wrestler. But in this St. Albans one that I watched, he has a little perm, which thankfully he's not got for the title match. He's got a kinky little blonde perm. He just sort of shows no emotion. There's a bit at the end where Rocco has beaten him. And Marty sort of goes, "Listen, Rocco," he says, in his Lancashire sort of flatness. He goes, "I'll beat you for once and for all, Rocco. Double championship. Win it takes all." And you get right. The ring announcer just turns to him and he says, "That sounds like a good idea, Marty." like he's a sort of slightly slow child. And there's a bit of push. I mean, this ends with Marty Jones winning the belt from Rocco. And he actually wins on a count out. So he throws Rocco over the top. They both split a fall, and they throw Rocco over the top rope. "Oh, badly outside the ring," says Kent Walton. And Rocco is counted out in round eight, losing the belt. I suppose that count out finish, even though that was a way that, you know, you could lose a title in Britain, what it did was it kept Rocco strong. You just sort of went, "Oh, had it not been for that." He wasn't roundly defeated.
Yeah.
Marty Jones won both belts, but he immediately gave up the belt he just won. He kept his light heavyweight championship and gave away the British middleweight one, which you might ask yourself, you know, why bother? But I suppose he wanted to hurt Rocco, and that is the personal pride element of it. I love this. I once again, I would say you cannot watch enough Rollerball Rocco. You probably cannot watch enough Marty Jones. He's great in the ring, but there is something, I suppose, if you like the showmanship of wrestling, Marty Jones is not necessarily your man.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going off the YouTube comment that was underneath the competition that we watched from somebody calling himself Big Daddy. "Wow, Martin Rocco is a brilliant fighter. Who was the other div pot? Never heard of him. Hulk Hogan would kick his head in."
I like the fact that I mean, maybe they are trying to do a joke about "I'm Big Daddy," and that's what Big Daddy would say. I've noticed quite a bit of that in British wrestling circles.
Oh, right. Okay,
there are lots of people who, when you're put up, you know, when you see like a Rocco match, someone will go, you know,
or is better.
Well, not even that. It'll be like Bret Hart 14, and they'll go, "You think you're so great, Martin Rocco, but I will put you in the sharpshooter. I am number one hitman."
So they're writing from the perspective of like an international WWF star.
Yeah. Right. I don't know what they're hoping for. Whether Rocco is going to get back and say, "Well, you know, you're a big man on the YouTube comment, but why don't you come to this address at 8 p.m. bell time, and you and I will be in the main event." You know, that would be the worst thing imaginable. British wrestling is great. I do actually have, from quite a few years ago, a DVD of Marty Jones versus Rocco. And it's a big compilation of all of the available matches. Yeah. And It doesn't serve them brilliantly because there is quite a lot of crossover between various matches, as you'd expect when people are not really imagining that people will turn up to Bedford Civic Hall with a camcorder. if you get a chance, just sit down, treat yourself. There are some playlists that will just take you through 15 years of these two guys just having matches against each other.
And it's just nice to sort of see like people in their corners, like it's a boxing match. And the one in Marty Jones' area looks like a Jarvis Cocker kind of nerd.
He does.
It's just very enjoyable. And like the referees back then, obsessed with boots, obsessed with what's happening with their boots.
Yeah.
Like, what are they expecting? Like knives on the bottom or something? They always make them check.
It would be fine
if
you
kind of forgotten by like 95, this sort of thing.
If you could go back and sort of go, what is the reason we checked the boots? Do you remember in the first wrestling match, there was that guy and he had a razor blade then. obsessed with boots, obsessed with knee pads.
Mm.
There's a bit where Mark Rocco as well, he's given a plastic bottle of water and he drinks it.
It looks like it's got terps in it. Those kind of old school 80s bottles that like you just don't see anymore because they're just...
That would have been like a soda stream concentrate bottle and it's been, scrubbed out and given to him. But I bet back then you'd have gone, this is a top flight sport. They've given him his own bottle of water.
That's almost 2 litres.
And they give it to Rocco. He puts it in his mouth. He spits it straight onto the canvas. There's no bucket.
No.
He doesn't go, I'll go do it in the corner. He just puts it in his mouth and goes, right over the middle of the ring. I thought, you dirty devil. British wrestling. I mean, I'm having a massive comeback with British wrestling at the minute. I cannot watch enough. All I will say is, please, please, if you are going to get into British wrestling, don't also get into British wrestling memorabilia on eBay because it's begun creeping up in price and I am losing stuff, which by rights should be mine. Don't ruin my Christmas.
I want Mark Rocco's water bottle.
I was actually watching this and I was thinking, I think, I would very much buy a Mark Rocco outfit. And with the tragic events of this year, keeping an eye open.
Well, I guess the states will be sold.
It's worth saying as well, and we don't do this enough, you talk about how brilliant we are, but we very, very much did celebrate Rocco last year, and I'm so glad we did. He will not have heard it. He wouldn't know how to operate a podcast, but I am really glad we were ahead of the curve on that because he is he's such a phenomenal performer. I think, he's one of absolute best in the world.
Mm.
Anytime you see him, he is 30% better than you remember him being, even if you remember him being incredible.
Necro Butcher is on notice, Mark. Necro Butcher is on notice.
I do not want to buy any of Necro Butcher's clothing. Make that clear. Oh, God, imagine the smell.
Oh, my word.
Oh, it's a pate.
Well, this has been another WrestleMemus for Memus. I hope you've enjoyed the fun times we've had. We do have our Patreon, patreon.com/WrestleMe. I'm presuming we'll have some kind of Christmassy roundup of what's been going on.
Oh, yeah, that'll be there. The newsletter will be there. I mean, there is a discussion for Pete and I to have off air about how frequently these go out as compared to the Patreon.
Yes.
But that, you'll have found out by now.
Exactly. You will be across that note.
You'll be like, oh, I was furious about that. And this is the moment where it happened.
WrestleMemus Mark.
WrestleMemus Pete.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him,
Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.